in Job chapter 41, God speaks to Job about Leviathan, the great sea monster. And he asked Job, "Canst thou draw out Leviathan with an hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Canst thou put a hook into his nose, or bore his jaw through like a thorn? Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft word unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Will thou take him for a servant forever?" Praise God. And finally, if you go down further, he speaks about Leviathan. In Job chapter 41 verse 31, "He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment." Hallelujah. "He maketh the path to shine after him. One will think the deep to be hoary. Upon the earth there is not like his, who is made without fear. He buildeth all high things. He is king over all the children of pride." God was speaking to Job in a language that Job did not understand. Before the restoration of Job, God spoke mysteries that are being comprehended today by the sons of God. Leviathan, the great sea monster, the dragon of the deep. God asks Job, "Can you capture it? Can you have that sea monster, that dragon, put under your subjection? Can you make him to serve you, to obey you, to be subject to you?" This great sea monster that makes a sea to boil. This great sea monster that rules over the children of pride. Leviathan. Praise God. Now these are questions for the sons of God today. Because every man who will walk victorious in his glory as son of the Most High God must overcome this thing we just read called Leviathan. Every child must have this victory over Leviathan. This is the victory over the beast, the victory over the mark of the beast that you see in the book of Revelations. When those who had obtained the victory over the beast sang a new song, the song of Moses. Hallelujah. Praise God. Leviathan is mentioned in other parts of the Bible. If you go quickly to the book of Psalms, Psalm 74 verse 12, "For God is my king of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth." Which earth? He's talking about you, in you. Working salvation in you. "Thou breakest the, thou dividest the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. Thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces, and giveth him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness." Praise God. See, this is the work of deliverance that the Lord is working in his people today. Hallelujah. Causing them to have the victory over these dragons that rock the sea. Praise God. You see how the sea goes? The sea is never calm. It's unsteady. Never calm. Turbulence. Up, down, no rest day and night. These are people who are subject to the influence. Satanic influence. Influence from the prince of the deep, which is Leviathan, the serpent. Leviathan the dragon. Leviathan the beast. Hallelujah. But we know God comes to calm the raging sea. And he does this by giving us victory over that serpent, that beast, that creature of the deep with many heads called Leviathan. Praise God. In the book of Revelation, the Bible says that those who had the victory over the beast stood upon a glass sea, a transparent glass sea, no more turbulent, no more ups and down, no more fears, no more torments, no more sinking into the deep, no more death. Praise God. Because the dragon, the serpent, which we call Leviathan, has been destroyed forever in our lives. Hallelujah. Thank God for the victory. We know that he was revealed from heaven to destroy the works of the devil. He was revealed from heaven to destroy the works of the devil within us. Christ is revealed in you to destroy the works of the devil, which we see as the serpent, the dragon, Leviathan, whatever you call it, the prince of the world, whatever. Oh, praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. If you go down quickly to the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, verse 1, in that day, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea, the dragon that is in the deep, the dragon that has influenced the lives of men and caused them to be subject to darkness, perpetual darkness in the deep, which is the sea. Praise God. In fact, some of the texts, the Old Testament texts, refer to this same Leviathan as Rahab. Praise God. Rahab, if you turn quickly to the book of Psalms, or let's leave that, I'll just move on to the book of Isaiah chapter 51, verse 9. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the day, ancient days, in the generations of old. Art thou not it that has cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which has dried the sea and the waters of the great deep, and has made the depths of the sea a way for thy ransom to pass over? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Praise God. Awake, O right hand of God. Awake, O saving hand of God. Awake in your people. Hallelujah. And let the dragon that has influenced the people of God is destroyed forever. Hallelujah. You know, this is the working of the cross. This is the thing that was performed years ago. You see, but people have not, you know, been able to comprehend the magnitude of the work, or the revelation of the work that Christ did on the cross. Because it is written, and we know by revelation, that he has conquered, made an open show of the principalities and powers. He has destroyed death once and for all, and he has brought to light immortality and life. These are the things that were hidden from the comprehension of men because of the influence of the great dragon. See, many people do not know that the dragon is already dead. Many do not know that the victory has been given to them through the cross of, through the work of Jesus on the cross. In fact, in the book of Revelation, when John saw the great beast, the dragon, it was like if it had a wound, a deep wound, as if it had been mortally wounded. But it lived. In reality, it only lives in our imaginations. The dragon has been destroyed and destroyed forever. See, but men have to come to terms with the work of God, what God has done in their lives. Oh, praise God. Victory over the dragon, victory over the beast, victory over the serpent. He has given us the power to tread over all the works of the enemy. He has given us power to rule and to reign in life. He has given us power to return to the place of all power. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you turn quickly to the book of Luke, see, when you read dragons in the Bible, Leviathan, and all those kind of scriptures, see, the imagination of men grows very wild. You begin to imagine, you know, external events. Some people call the beast Russia, some people call the beast Arabia. Some people call the beast, you know, Iran. All these kind of wild, wild, cooked up imaginations. Not realizing that the work of God is in you. Praise God. The work of God is in you. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. See, we are speaking here about power over serpents and scorpions. I started off with the Leviathan, the great sea monster, which in reality is that same old serpent. See, is that same old serpent from the garden? See, that plunged the whole of creation into the realm of death. See it? And God came to redeem man from all the works of the enemy. Hallelujah. This is the salvation of God to the ends of the earth today. Jesus Christ had just sent his disciples, 70 of them, to go out to preach the gospel. 70 disciples. And they came back rejoicing. Let's read what happens here. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice rather, because your names are written in heaven in God, in God's kingdom in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank thee, O Lord, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so. Hallelujah. Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me by my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear these things which you hear and have not heard them. Praise God. So Jesus Christ speaks here clearly that he has given his disciples what? Power. Power over all the works of Satan. Power over the serpents and power over the scorpions. So that they shall know by no means harm them. These are some of the things he says before going up. You know, he says that in the book of Mark chapter 16 verse 18, he says that they shall take up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Of course, Jesus Christ is not talking about going out there in search for rattlesnakes and cobras to hold snakes physically. So that's not what that's not what God is saying. Oh, praise God. He's talking about the overcoming power. He gives you power to overcome everything that is, you know, Satan has subjected man to in this age. Praise God. And you can see that Jesus Christ says here that nobody knows the Father except the Son, and nobody knows the Son except the Father. Only those who don't know the mystery of the Father and the Son can have the victory over the serpents and the scorpions. Praise God. The mystery of the Father and the Son. Praise God. This is the knowledge that the disciples had, that Jesus Christ said, blessed are your ears, for they hear, and your eyes that they see. He's saying, blessed are you, because you have understood the mystery of the Father and the Son. You have understood the mystery that you are the Son, and that you are one with the Father. You have known the mystery that I and the Father are one. You have known the mystery that everything that the Father has is mine. You have known the mystery that I am in God from the very foundation. If you do not know this mystery, you are dead. Praise God. That is the effect of the workings of Satan in the men of this age. Praise God. Now we go back to Garden of Eden again. In the early chapters of Genesis, I wouldn't read it. But let us understand that Adam in the garden of God. Adam, in the garden of Eden, represents the image of the Son of God. It represents Christ, the Son of the living God. Adam in the garden represents the expressed image of the glory of God. Adam, when he ruled and reigned in that consciousness in the garden, represents the consciousness of I and the Father are one. That is God being manifest right there in the Garden of Eden. Ruling and reigning, no such thing as death, no such thing as pain and sorrow, no such thing as fear for tomorrow. What will I eat? What will I wear? What will happen to me when I die? No more fear of crashes, plane crashes, and all those kind of things. Why? Because I and the Father are one. I am God. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Now, the serpent, which is Leviathan, which is the dragon, Satan, devil, everything, influence Adam. Adam lost it when he allowed himself to be what? Influenced by that thing that crawls on the dust. Adam went into fellowship with darkness. He went into fellowship with mortality. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All that is the wisdom of this age. The wisdom of the spirit of this age. That is the knowledge that governs this world. And that is the knowledge that put asunder the consciousness that I and the Father are one. That was the influence. That serpent was what influenced Adam into losing all reality of immortality and light that he truly is. Adam lost all awareness that he was a spiritual being. He lost all awareness of God's kingdom. He lost all awareness that that he's perfect as the Father is perfect. He lost all awareness that I and Father are one, that I am an instance of God. He lost all that awareness. See, the fruit of the serpent is poison. The fruit of the knowledge of good and evil is poison. It is the very same snake bite that puts men to death. Praise God. The poison is injected through your feet by the bite of the serpent, and it goes around your blood. It circulates around your blood, contaminates your system, and dying you shall die. Many are sick, many are weak, many are miserable, many are dying because they are under the sway of the devil. The poison of that thing that crawls on the dust is working in their system. Praise God. The poison causes you to think that you have a life independent of God. It causes you to think that you have a physical kind of existence. It causes you to think that you are mortal. It causes you to think that your origin is of this world. It causes you to be married to mortality. That is the work of the devil. The devil hides this mystery of the Father and the Son. But thank God, because you have eyes today and you have ears today to perceive this mystery that is coming today as a key to liberate you back into the glorious liberty of the Son of God. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful? Power to tread over serpents. That's what is giving us today through this revelation. So you will no longer be deceived like the rest of the world is deceived. You will no longer be deceived into thinking that you are a sinner, that God has left you, that you are unworthy. Hallelujah. I give you power over the lie of the devil. I give you power over the serpent bites, over the poison, the lie of the devil that has subjected you, made you subject to corruption, that has caused you to think that the Father has left you, that has caused you to think that you are not pleasing to God. I give you power today. Hallelujah. Peter said, Christ, that one Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ says, this is the key. This is the key that will liberate you. Hallelujah. From the power of death. From hell and death. Hallelujah. This is the key upon which the church will be built upon that eternal rock, where the influences of death has no more hold over it. Hallelujah. I give you power to rule and reign once more in life. Oh, hallelujah. These are the days of the awakening. Praise God. You know, when John saw Christ in the book of Revelations, chapter 1, when he saw Christ appearing as the Alpha and the Omega, he was seeing you and I appearing. Praise God. We who are waking to this mystery are that Alpha and the Omega. We that are waking to this mystery that I and the Father are one. This mystery of the Father and Son, this oneness and this love that spans all eternity, these ones appear as the Alpha and Omega. This is the coming of the Lord in you. This is the great unveiling of the Son of God in you. John saw him in the book of Revelation chapter 1, and he says that he had, you know, shoes. How does he put it? Please, let's go down. Verse 15. Revelation chapter 1, verse 15. And his feet was like unto fine brass, as if they were placed in a furnace. That means his feet was as the feet of brass placed in a furnace, meaning it was glowing, burning with heat and glowing. That is the feet with which every overcomer, which every man who gets this revelation walks in this hour. And I can assure you, no serpent, no scorpion can penetrate that kind of feet, glowing, as it placed in a furnace. It's not possible. You cannot even approach it because of this great heat and power. The head of the serpent will be destroyed. All this is in fulfillment of the prophecy that the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. We not only bruise the head of the serpent, we dissolve the head of the serpent. That lying influence in our minds, walking through the carnal mind, telling you day and night that you are mortal, telling you day and night that you are born, telling you day and night that you have a physical body, telling you day and night that the Father has left you, telling you day and night that you are sick, you are weak, you are a sinner, you are unworthy of God's glory. That is dissolved by those who walk in this revelation in this hour. The revelation gives you that feet that glows like brass that has been placed in the furnace. Somebody might ask, what should I do? What you don't have to do anything, you just have to know. Sit back. Be still in meditation. Sit back. Be still and know that I shall be exalted in you. I shall be manifest in you. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and contemplate this mystery. Be still and let the Father speak to you in your heart and cause an awakening within you, so that you can once more awake incorruptible the way you are known of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 51. Paul is speaking about the mystery. All this is in line with the resurrection from the dead. It's in Adam we received the bite of the snake and we died in mortality. And as long as you live as a mortal, you cannot see the glory of God. You continue from tribulation to tribulation. You continue to try to perfect something that cannot be perfected. See, there's some things out there that you try to work out as a man. You try to perfect your humanity. You try to perfect yourself as a man, and you try to be godly and be good as a man, and you try to please God as a man. You cannot. It's only a waste of time. Praise God. The answer is to awake to truth and to walk in truth. I show you a mystery. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 51. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of what? An eye. At the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be what? Raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on what? Incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in what? In victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, serpent, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks to be to God, which giveth us the victory through Christ Jesus. Therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Praise God. So Paul is speaking about the mystery that everybody seeks to understand, isn't it? Everybody wants to know this mystery. Because here he's telling you how death, how God of, you know, causes man to enter into this blessed reality of immortality. Jesus Christ said this here. Jesus Christ said, some of you will not taste death. In plain words, some of you will not die. Some of you, like Enoch, will not die. Some of you standing here with me in this elevated place will never die until you see Christ coming in you, until you see the kingdom coming. That the kingdom comes in you, the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, there is nothing like death. There is no more death in God's kingdom. There is no curse. There is no sin, no fear, no sorrow, no pain. Those things don't exist in God's kingdom. It's joy, victory, and glory forever and ever. Hallelujah. Flesh and blood cannot inherit God's kingdom. Mortality cannot inherit God's kingdom. As long as you allow the devil continue to deceive you into thinking that you are a man, thinking that you have some kind of attachment to the outer world, how can you possibly enter God's kingdom? For this cause, Jesus Christ says that those of you who have left all, you have to leave all that is associated with mortality and go back to the truth. Everything you see in this outer world, your families, your friends, your societies, is all in outer darkness. It has got no real eternal value. That's why Jesus Christ says that in the ages to come, you shall have what? Eternal life. And right now you shall have brethren, sisters, and these are your true brethren, and these are your true brothers, these are your true sisters. The ones who are waking to Christ. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. So as I show you a mystery, see, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trumpet. Now, do you know you are hearing the last trumpet? As you are listening to this message right now, you are hearing the what? The last trumpet. Hallelujah. This clear, distinctive voice of the Spirit speaking in your mind, speaking in your heart, speaking to you right now, revealing truth. It is truth coming forth from the depths of God to counter the lie of the devil. Right? That's why it is called the last trumpet, because it silences forever all the many trumpets that have sounded over the ages. It silences forever the lies of the devil. Silences forever the trumpet voices that you heard from the dust. This is the last trumpet that causes you to awaken to truth. When you have known the truth, nothing can deceive you anymore. When you have known the truth, every lie is dissolved. The truth is the incorruptible Son of God in you. The truth is your true identity as Son of God. That is the truth. Praise God. So when you hear the voice of the Spirit, you begin to get inspiration from God. Awakens you. It causes you to be raised up incorruptible. You are raised up consciously to once more recognize your true self that abides in the heavens forever. Your true self that can never die. Your true self that is in God. Your true self that is one with the Father. Praise God. You are raised incorruptible. No more death. No more sin consciousness. No more fear. Raising corruptible to recognize your true nature, the way you are known of God. Hallelujah. This is what God was demonstrating when Jesus, you know, called out Lazarus. I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection, Jesus Christ declared before he called Lazarus out of the grave. I, the Christ, the Son of God, am the resurrection. And he goes forth and says, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus is raised incorruptible. Now, we're speaking here from the eye of the Spirit. We're looking here from the spiritual revelation in that miracle. The true miracle is not just going to raise somebody from the dead. Raising somebody from the dead does not better that person. It does not mean the person has immortality. You see miracles, somebody says he has raised up people from the dead and all that. It does not, you know, draw that person 1 inch closer to God's kingdom. If somebody is declared clinically dead in the hospital by men, and somehow he comes back to life, that is not the resurrection Christ is talking about. Amen. Resurrection has got to do with awakening back to your true self as Christ, the Son of the living God. I am the resurrection. Lazarus that comes forth out of the grave, out of the ignorance of that darkness of the tomb, awakens to Christ. Christ is the one that comes out of the grave. That's the Son of God. That is you and I are walking from the dead. See, but Lazarus, first of all, hears the voice say, Lazarus, comfort. That is the trumpet. You can hear the voice telling you right now, comfort from the ignorance of this age, comfort from the sense of mortality, and comfort into the light. The dead shall be raised up, raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on what? Immortality. It's talking about your consciousness. So as long as your consciousness says that you are a man, your consciousness connects you to the physical body, your consciousness connects you to the outer world, you are still walking in the realm of death. See, but the awakening in you causes you to become consciously aware of your spiritual body. Because makes you to be consciously aware of your true nature. See, that is not subject to the parameters of time and space in this world that men live in. Glory, glory, glory be to God. Hallelujah. And when this is done, it shall come to pass, the saying that death is swallowed up in victory. This is the power that he has given us today over every work of the devil. It's our ability to perceive from the Spirit, not from Trevor, not from some kind of minister out there, but from the Spirit. You have to receive this word from the Spirit and let it raise you up consciously back into the reality of the bountiful blessings that await you as the Son of God. See, the sting of death is sin. O death, where is thy sting? O scorpion, where is thy sting? O serpent, where is thy bite? No more influence. No more death-giving influence from the serpent and scorpion, because you are looking back into the consciousness of the Son of God in you. It's a wonderful thing. Amen. Our victory is in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Our victory is in the revelation of Christ Jesus in us. Our victory is in the awakening to the reality that I am the Father and one. This is the victory that God gives to us on the platter of God. For God so loved the world that he has given the revelation of the Son of God to us, that we may not perish anymore in mortality, but rather live unto eternal life. Oh, praise God. Isn't it wonderful? Hallelujah. Paul says that we that hear this truth, let us continue on abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, what is the work of the Lord that we are called to do? The work of the Lord that we are called to do is to exercise ourselves in this truth as we hear them, and by faith, you know, walk in them. See, our work is to believe what we have heard, mix it by faith, and walk in what we have heard. See, begin to walk in the reality of your true spirituality. Begin to walk in the reality of your true self that spans eternity. Walk in the revelation of Christ in you. That is what will bring you back into God's kingdom. That is the hope of your glory to realize. First of all, faith comes by hearing. And after hearing, you put into motion what you have heard. Praise God. So when you have this faith, no work, no lie of religion, deceitfulness of religion, deceitfulness of men can ever rob you of your glory and your perfection in God. Nothing. Power over Leviathan. Power over the beast. Power over that old serpent, that crooked serpent. Hallelujah, forever. Is given to us through the revelation of Christ. Hallelujah. We who walk by faith in the revelation of Christ. This is the hour to thank God. This is the hour to explore in silence the breadth, the length, the heights, the depths of the love of God towards us. See, God has never left you. God can never leave you. His true will eternally is to give you the kingdom. So go about dissolving every lie of the devil that seeks to make you appear as an imperfect mortal. Tread over these things. Dissolve them by this revelation truth. God bless you.